My name is Alan Morse, and today we're going to have another study. And we're going to be talking about a subject that comes up to me quite often. And the subject is, once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. I don't know how many times people have come to me and said, do you really believe that once a person is saved, they're always saved? Can they lose their salvation? And I always tell them that once you're saved, you're always saved. But the key to it is are you truly saved? That's the key to it. Are you truly, truly saved? Do you truly believe the gospel for your salvation? God knows. He's the only one that knows, you see. He knows for sure. You see, we can... a lot of people are saved many different ways. And a lot of them are saved because other people want them to be saved. They get so tired of hearing it, they'll do anything just to go get saved to be done with it. But you see, God knows. He knows our thoughts. Turn to Job. Turn to Job. I don't turn this very often, but Job chapter 42. Now, you open your Bibles up, and you open them up about in the dead center. That's Psalms. And then the first chapter, book before that is Job, and then the last chapter of Job is Job 42. Job 42. And look at verses 1. Job 42, verses 1. It says, and Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. You see, God knows everybody's thoughts. He knows that they've accepted. He truly believes, you know, accepted the Savior. He knows if you're saved or not. Only He's the only one that truly knows. And He truly knows because He chose you before the world ever began. He chose you before the world ever began. When I say those things, like obviously I gotta prove it by the Bible. But just look at Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at verses. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at the verses, chapter 1, verses 3. Verses 3. Let's look what it says. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us in all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. He has chosen us and He has predestined us. He knew before the world began, if you're a believer, He knew you were going to be a believer. It's just fantastic. It is just fantastic. So what is it we have to do to be a believer? See, that's the key. Are you truly a believer? Okay, let's see what the book says, what we have to do to be a believer. Let's turn to Romans. Back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And let's look at verse 16. It says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. In other words, for everybody. What did it say again? He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. Isn't that what we're looking for? Salvation? And all we got to do is to everyone that believes. Believes what? The gospel. The gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. It didn't say believe in anything but believe. It didn't say believe in baptize. It didn't say believe in speaking in tongues. It didn't say believe in joining a church or praying to Mary or anything. It just said, believe the gospel. Well, we got what we got to find out now. What is the gospel? What is this gospel that's so important that we have to believe in order to be saved? Well, let's just look and see what it says. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, to your right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look what it says. He writes this letter to the Corinthian churches, and they've already believed this gospel. It says, moreover, brethren, so he's talking to believers, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, not a gospel, this is the gospel, which I preached unto you, which you also have received, and by which you stand, they stand on this gospel, and also, the next verse, by which also you are saved. Now, this gospel he's declaring is by what you are saved. This is how you're saved. But he says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. In other words, this isn't something that you just struck off. This is something that you truly believe. This is something that's in your heart. And this is not a head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge. You truly believe this gospel for your salvation. Verse 3, it says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins, and that he was buried, and he rose from the dead, that's salvation for the church today. You see, that's the salvation for the church today. See, we're supposed to be the body of Christ. See, when Paul met with the Lord Jesus in Arabia, and they put together a whole new church, totally, totally separated from Judaism. This church, he already set aside the Jewish people, totally set them aside. And now he's dealing with Gentiles. And for our salvation, he pointed not to himself, but he pointed directly to the cross, to what he did on that cross. If we believe that he died on that cross, he died for our sins, and he was buried and rose again, that's salvation for the church today. No other salvation. It didn't say that you believe in Jesus. It didn't say you take Jesus as your Savior. It didn't say here anything about taking Jesus in your heart. It had nothing to do with that. It's believing in what he did, not who he was. Believing what he did, and that's what he told us to do. That's what he told us to do. When God tells you to do something, you best believe it. You know, Cain and Abel, they had to give a sacrifice, he told them, once a year for their sins. And we know that Abel did. He gave a living sacrifice. It was a calf or a sheep, whatever. But he had to kill that sheep, and he had to put it on that altar and sacrifice it to God. But Cain, he was a grain farmer, and he didn't have any sheep, so he was going to use the best he had. The best he had. He gave the best grain that he had, and he brought it to God. Did God accept it? No. No. That's not what he told him. It had to be a living sacrifice, and he had to kill it. And so thus what happened? He was discredited totally. And if you don't believe the gospel for your salvation, you'll be discredited too. That's just the way it is. Now, what happens after you believe the gospel is tremendously important. Let's turn to Ephesians. Go to your right. Through to 2 Corinthians, then Galatians, and then Ephesians. Go to your right and look at Ephesians chapter 1, and just look at verses 13. It says, in whom you trusted, also trusted, after you heard the word of truth. You'll find Paul used the word of truth time and time again, and it always means, what's the next word? The gospel. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel. The gospel of what? Of your salvation. And whom also, after you believed what? The gospel of your salvation, what happened to you? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see, that's the difference in salvation. You see, If you don't believe the gospel for your salvation, you never get the Holy Spirit. But when you do, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's why the churches today are having such problems. People aren't being saved in the church today. You can't walk down the aisle and say, I believe in Jesus as my Savior. And then you say, well, you got to be baptized. I'll be baptized. When you walk out of there, you're not any more saved than you were when you started. That's not the gospel. And see, that's why the churches today have 500 on the roll, 75 show up, and that 75 want to get hurried up and get church over with because they got some dinner to cook. They got a football game up here. You see, they don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the power of the Holy Spirit working in them so that they can totally be the type of person that God wants them to be. And they're lost. And without the Holy Spirit, you're lost. Let me show you that. Turn back to Romans. Turn back to Romans. Back to the left. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, look at verses 9. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now he says, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. He's none of his. If you don't have God living in you today, if he isn't guiding and directing you everywhere you go and what you do and what you say, you know, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not his. And the only way you get that is to believe the gospel. The only way. You can't get it any other way. And you don't have it. And if you don't have it, you're none of his. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Romans and then 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And look what it says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is Paul. This is just wonderful. Look what Paul says here. Verses 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5. It says, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Prove yourself. Prove yourself. Know ye not yourself how Jesus Christ is in you? Do you examine yourself right now? Each and every one is listening to me. Is Christ living in you? Is he a part of your life? Is he guiding and directing you everywhere you go? Has he opened your eyes up so you can read the scriptures and spend hours in them? It's just beyond my imagination what happened when I believed the gospel. I was almost 70 years old before I understood the gospel for my salvation. And when as soon as I believed it, I told the Lord, I believe the gospel for my salvation. He opened my eyes. And all of a sudden, I could study the scriptures for hours. And 10 hours later, I was still studying the scriptures. He like gave me 100 more IQ points. It was fantastic. I never had that before. And I've been studying like that ever since then. And it's just wonderful. I enjoy it. And my whole life has changed. And my priorities have changed. It's everything has changed in my life. Can you say that? Has your life changed? Is your life changed? And what does it say there? Unless you are discredited. If Jesus isn't living in you, you're not saved. You're discredited. You're discredited. Let me show you how important it is the gospel is. Turn back to Romans. Back to Romans, and let's look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And look at verses 16. It says, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. When is that? That's the great white throne judgment. That's when God is going to judge every person that are non-believers. Every non-believer in this world. The ones that are in hell are going to come out of the hell. They're going to stand before this great white throne judgment. And Jesus Christ is going to be there. And they're all going to stand before him. Every person who is an unbeliever is going to stand before him. Think about that. There are going to be millions of people there that think they're saved by believing in Jesus. And they're going to be there. And they won't know why. They can't comprehend such a thing. and what they're going to be judged by. Paul's gospel. Look what it says. I didn't say it. He says, by my gospel, he said. And what is that gospel? That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And that's for your salvation. You believe it for your salvation. And he's going to judge you by that. And if you don't believe the gospel for your salvation, you're lost. And they're all lost in the great white throne judgment. No one goes anywhere but the lake of fire. And that will be why. They're going to be judged by Paul's gospel. How important is that? I would say that's quite important. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. And let's look at Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then 1 Thessalonians, and then 2 Thessalonians. And look at chapter 1, and look at verses 7. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. See? And when is that going to be? That's going to be right at the end of the tribulation. He's going to come back and he's going to really put it on them, the people that didn't believe. He says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them who know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These people did not believe the gospel. When Jesus told them that they had to believe the gospel for their salvation, they did something different. They did something different, just like Cain did. He did something different, see. He thought it was okay. He thought it was going to be okay. You know, he's going to bring a grain offering. But it wasn't okay. God didn't accept it. And he's not going to accept taking Jesus as your Savior either. You're going to have to be saved by the gospel. By the gospel. What will happen to you? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? That's how important the gospel is. And that's what true salvation is. The gospel. The gospel. Now look what happens when you believe the gospel. Let's do it this way. Let's look why is it that the people today aren't believing the gospel? Why are they going to a different way? Going to Judaism? Why do they do that? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Romans, 1 Corinthians, and then 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4. And you're going to see why people have done what they've done. Okay, so Paul says, verses 3, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3, it says, but if our gospel, the gospel that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and he rose from the dead, be hidden, it's hidden to them that are lost. See, I told anybody, if they don't believe the gospel, they're lost. This is what this book says right there. If it's hidden to them, they're lost. If they don't believe the gospel for their salvation, they're lost. Why? In whom the God of this age, who is the God of this age? Satan, hath blinded the minds of them who believe not. Believe not what? The gospel. Why? Least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Think about that. Satan has blinded the minds of people. He did me my whole life. I had no idea that the gospel was my salvation. I always was taught that taking Christ as my Savior, believing in Jesus, that's salvation for me. But it wasn't. It isn't, and it never has been. But Satan has blinded the churches today to preach anything but the gospel. Why would he blind the gospel? Because the gospel is salvation, and that's the last thing he wants to happen. He doesn't want anybody to save. He knows he's going to hell, and he wants to take everybody with him. And so what did he do? He joined the church. He joined the church with ministers of righteousness, and they're not preaching the gospel. If you're a preacher and you're not preaching the gospel, you're one of Satan's ministers of righteousness. Not only are you cursed, in Galatians chapter 1, 8 and 9 says, if anybody teach any other gospel than what Paul preached, he said, let him be accursed. Not only are you accursed, but look what you've done to your all the people in your church. You've accursed them also. You did exactly what Satan wants you to do. And I tell people to wake up before it's too late. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians. And I want to talk about, we talk about once saved, always saved. That's what we're talking about. You bet you had to be saved before you can lose it. And you can't lose it if you're truly saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And look what it says. Just look at the start of verse 4. I thank God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ. You see, most people don't understand the grace of God, what grace means. Grace is unmerited favor. He does it all. We do nothing. All we do is believe the gospel, and He takes it from there. I mean, totally, He takes it from there. That's what grace is. Unmerited favor. We don't deserve anything. God does it all. Okay? Verse 5, that in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you. What's the testimony of Christ that Paul talks about? Only the gospel. The gospel is confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting. We've got the gospel. It's confirmed in us, and we're waiting for that coming, okay? Who shall also confirm you. God is going to confirm you unto the end. Whose end? Our end. That in it may be, but will not be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're going to be confirmed to the end and be blameless. Blameless until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, God is the one who's faithful. He's the one who's going to confirm us to the end. And when Jesus Christ has come, He confirmed us till when Jesus comes. That means either the rapture or that we die and our soul and spirit goes to be with Jesus. He comes and takes us home. But He's going to do it. We're not going to do it. There's no way you can lose your salvation if you believe the gospel and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. No way. Because you have God living in you. Let's look at Philippians. Just turn over to Philippians to go to Galatians, Ephesians, and then we go to Philippians. And just look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and let's look at verses 4. Philippians chapter 1, and look at verses 4. Always, in every prayer of mine for you, are making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to perform that good work in us. He's going to perform everything that needs to be done to keep us till when Jesus comes. When He comes in the rapture, or He comes when we die. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. Just keep on going to the right. Colossians and then 1 Thessalonians. And look at this. This is just fantastic. Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verses 23. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means totally. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're going to be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at the rapture or when we die. Then look at what 24 says. Faithful is He that calleth you. Who is that? God, who also will do it. Do what? preserve you blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, just once saved, always saved. For sure. Beyond anything, because we don't do it. He does it. God is going to keep us until God Jesus comes. But you've got to be saved. You've got to be saved. And look what happens when you have that Holy Spirit in you, when you're truly saved. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Turn back to the left to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This will have to be our last verse. It says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. What's passed away mean? You're dead. The old things in your life are dead. When you become a new, you'll become a new creation when you believe the gospel. And old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. Think about that. You know, the second that you believe the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You've got Jesus. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got God living in you. And all your priorities are going to change. Everything's going to change. If you've got sin in your life, you're going to walk away from it because God gives you the strength to do it. You can't do it on your own. That's what the importance of the Holy Spirit. He does it. He does it all. Everything. He will be with you and walk with you the rest of your life. And it's just beyond your imagination what God will do. It's just been beyond my imagination what He's done in my life. I can't believe what has happened since He filled me with the Holy Spirit. And I just praise God every day for what He has done for me and what He is doing. Things that are happening in my life, I can't even comprehend. God is working mightily through me. People are getting saved. Not hundreds, maybe thousands. And it's just fantastic. And I just praise God every day. And let's pray. Dear Father, I just praise You and thank You for this opportunity to teach the gospel and show people that there's no way we can lose our salvation. I just praise You, Father, and I pray everybody that hear this would come to the knowledge of Jesus through the gospel. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.